that fan always make noise like that?
It's working now.
It is cooling the room off. It was much warmer in here before we turned that on. All right. So just to start off, wanted to discuss basically first just a very basic practical point, which is I intentionally did not put an end time on this class so that you could all be stuck here until 12 o'clock at night. No, so that I'm planning on this class ranging between 30 and 45 minutes. Basically, I don't have like a real curriculum of what I want to get through, but I don't want to end in the middle of, you know, discussing a point. So basically, going to arrange between 30 and 45 minutes. So the class should be from around 9:15 to 9 to end between, you know, around 9:45 to 10 o'clock. So that's just one practical point. I wanted to talk about a little bit about the style and the format of this class is going to be about and how it's going to be directed, which will be important in appreciating the things that we discuss. And so I'm going to start off with a very funny way for someone to start their own class and describe their own class. But this class, if you don't hear this introduction, this class could ruin your Shmona Esrei. And what I mean by that is that we're going to talk about Shmona Esrei. We're going to go very carefully through the words of Shmona Esrei and ideas and concepts. The Mishnah Berurah brings in Siman Tzadi Ches, in the first Mishnah Berurah there, Sif Katan Aleph, brings from the Rash Mikinon, who said that after he learned all of the Chachma of Kabbalah, all of the Sisrei Torah, that he davened like a tinok, that he davened like a child who's just talking to Hashem and not thinking about, you know, any of these deeper things, any of these kavanas, any of these, you know, higher whatever they are in tefillah, that you're just, you know, tefillah is just talking to Hashem. And that's what tefillah is meant to be, and the tzura, the form of tefillah is meant to be that, you know, you understand the words that you're saying so that you're not just, you know, saying a magic formula, so that it's a meaningful you know, presentation, but you're supposed to be talking to Hashem. And if you have in your head, you know, all of these ideas of, you know, if you're talking in the world of Kabbalah, of, you know, which sphera it is, and which heichal, and all of these different, the olamos, and all these things, so you're focusing on all of these things which are distracting you from what tefillah is supposed to be about. And if you have all of these ideas and concepts and thoughts and divrei Torah that are coming up when you go through the words of tefillah, then also you're distracted from, at the end of the day, what you're supposed to be doing is you're supposed to be talking to Hashem as if you are talking to Hashem. And when you're talking to someone, hopefully you're not thinking about all of the complicated ideas that might, that, you know, that your words might mean. You're just focusing on having a meaningful and sincere conversation. So the idea of, and the Mishnah Berurah writes and brought down in Halacha, any that, you know, all of the ideas that the Shulchan Aruch says in the Kavanas of Tefillah, that you're how you're supposed to picture yourself and all of these things is brought that's what you're supposed to think about before you start davening. But as soon as you start davening, you're supposed to be thinking about that I am standing before Hashem and thinking about what the words mean, and that is the entire idea of what you're supposed to focus on when you're davening. So that being the case, so what is the point of having a class like this? It's just gonna, you know, potentially ruin your davening if you don't know the proper focus. So just to put it in perspective, a slightly different paradigm, and then we'll switch over to our discussion. There's something that we talk about in Torah called Musar, and there's something that we talk about called Hashkafa. And Musar and Hashkafa are two different types of what we might call, personal character development kind of learning. And the terms that are thrown around, there's a very big difference between the two terms. We have to understand, you know, what is Musar and what is Hashkafa. Musar is something which is directed towards your actions. It's something which is geared towards affecting the way that you do things. It is meant to develop that you are sincere and careful in your performance of mitzvos. Musar is something which is directed to the day-to-day, you know, specific acts and thoughts and emotions also, but that it's directed towards a practical, specific manifestations. As opposed to hashkafa, the word hashkafa means outlook. A hashkafa, hashkafa zachayim, an outlook, is something which is, it's a developing, hashkafa is learning hashkafic things, things like learning about niflos habora, the wonders of creation, and the complexity of the world, and the way in which Hashem deals with, you know, schar and onesh, and avas Hashem, the way that Hashem loves, all these things like this, and understanding the world that Hashem created, and appreciating how, you know, ma gadlu ma'asecha Hashem, ma'rabu ma'asecha Hashem, these kinds of things are the development of a broader appreciation of the system that we're in, the system of Torah, the system of the Bria, the system of the world. All of these things are developing something which becomes the background and perhaps the subconscious appreciation, but they become the backdrop on which a Torah life is lived. And they're both very important, because one of them is important for the specific development of the day-to-day acts that you are involved in, the day-to-day different events and things that you are involved in. The other one is important for a development of a broader, that everything fits into a framework, that everything is viewed through a certain lens, is viewed through a certain appreciation, and that's what the Torah of Hashkafa is really about. So the Musar of Tefillah is the kavana, and the dikduk is understanding that you're talking to Hashem, is taking your tefillah seriously, is, you know, understand, just, you know, having an understanding of what it means that you're talking to Hashem. The Musar of tefillah are the things that really improve your tefillah. If you have, there's you know, a wonderful sefer called Pathway to Prayer, which has, you know, this very lucid translation line by line of the words of tefillah, which help you to focus on what you're saying in such a way that the performance of the mitzvah of tefillah is enhanced. You're doing it's improving your conversation with Hashem. The hashkafa of tefillah is appreciating the depth of what tefillah is, and appreciating the meaning behind tefillah and all of the complexity that there is, even if you're not going to be focusing on it, but knowing that it's there makes the experience of tefillah something which, you know, in the background is something which is a much more powerful experience. The tour says that when we daven, we specifically daven the words of Chazal. We don't make up our tefillahs with our own words, because we are not equipped to make up a tefillah as powerful as the tefillah that Chazal wrote. When the Anshei Knesset Gedola wrote tefillah, he says that they wrote it in such a way that the kavanas, all of the deeper kavanas, all of the things which, you know, that the mystics talk about and all the things, are actually there in tefillah. They're built in. But just like the mashal I once heard, just like you could have a fellow sitting there controlling a rocket with a little, you know, remote control from the control tower in NASA in what's that little island there, Fort something, right?
Canaveral.
What?
Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral, right? So he has no idea how the rocket works. He has no idea. He just knows that if I move the lever like this, that the rocket's going to go like this, and I do this, it's going to speed up. And as long as he just uses the interface that he was given, it will cause all of those things that are going on, which are much bigger than anything that he understands, to happen. So it's the same thing. Chazal gave us a framework. They gave us a method to access all of these higher things. Our job is to interface with tefillah the way that we can, which is by understanding that we're talking to Hashem and understanding the words that we're saying. And all of those higher things are built in, but knowing that there are these higher things, and maybe having some access, some appreciation of what these things are, really enhances your appreciation and your value that you place on tefillah, and understanding and appreciating the ideas behind it. That you don't think that you're not just, you know, mumbling some words, but that there is much more going on in the experience of tefillah that we even can know about, but that we're not, that even if we in our actual expression of that are not focusing on that, that it gives us a covade a respect for tefillah, which really changes the experience of what tefillah is. So just as an important introduction to the lens through which we approach this class, if you walk out of here with the things that we talk about and try to plug those into your Shemona Esrei, it will probably ruin your Shemona Esrei, because I'm just giving you a heads up, and we'll talk about this in a moment, we might spend 40 minutes talking about what the words Kone HaKol means. You shouldn't be doing that in your Shemona Esrei, right? You're not supposed to be thinking about all of these, but knowing that there is, being aware that there is all of that depth when you say the words Kone HaKol will make it a more serious and a more valuable experience for you. Just in terms of the actual methodology of the class, just what we're going to practically do. So we are going to go very slowly through tefillah. We're going to go through every word. I can think of one word in the first 9 brachos or so that we will skip, or not, you know, say some greater thought about. But the goal is that we're going to try and identify and develop themes in each bracha. I'm going to attempt to give an introduction to each bracha, which will then kind of give the layout as we go through the bracha. We'll see how everything ties together, what the conceptual idea that brings that bracha together is. That's one thing that we're going to try and do. We're going to try to very rigorously and precisely define the terms, which is something that is helpful in the actual Shemona Esrei. If you have a very clear definition of what a word means, it's sometimes helpful in, you know, your simple Shemona Esrei also, but we're going to try and based on getting a very clearly defined understanding of the terms being used, to really get a deeper appreciation of the things that are being hinted to or referenced. And then we're going to try and get an understanding of the concepts in tefillah based on Chazal and based on the different Mefarshim, who both on the Siddur, both who talk about tefillah, and both to bring in concepts from around Jewish thought. And my little tagline on the title of the class was, I should remember what it was, right? I wrote it. Pearls of Prayer, Jewish Thought and Life Lessons from the Text of Our Daily Prayers. That's where we're going to be in a certain way using the text of our daily prayers as a springboard to bring out ideas in Jewish thought and in life lessons. So, okay, that was all the introduction to the meta introduction to the class. So I wanted to start off, we're going to have 2 stages of the introduction to talking about, to actually going into Shemona Esrei. So next week I want to talk about the Shemona Esrei itself and just give a perspective on, you know, the role and the place of Shemona Esrei in and what Shemona Esrei is. We'll talk about that next week. Tonight I wanted to talk about the mitzvah of tefillah and perhaps where Shemona Esrei fits into that. But that just to talk about the Torah mitzvah of the idea of tefillah. And start with, there's a machlokas Rishonim, there's a famous dispute among the Rishonim. The Rambam in Mitzvahs Aseh Yud and in Mishneh Torah in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, says that there is a mitzvah min haTorah, a de'oraisa, biblical commandment, to pray once a day, every day. It says that the amount of times that you pray and the words that you say and things like that, he says, are all rabbinical in nature and origin, but there is a Torah mitzvah to pray every day. The Rambam in 3 different places brings different sources for them. In the Yad, in Mishneh Torah, he brings the drasha from the Gemara that says, "V'avadata b'chol levavacha," right? And the Rambam brings Chazal who say that "Ezehu avoda shebelev." What is the service which is done in your heart? Havi Omer Zu Tefillah. That's the mitzvah of Tefillah. But then the Rambam brings different sources in different places, but all of them have to do with the idea of Avodah. All of them are sourced from the idea of service of Hashem. Some of them are in context, referring more to perhaps, you know, the temple service. But the Rambam brings as an idea of the Torah mitzvah to pray from a broader mitzvah of Avodah. The mitzvah of Avodah means that you should pray to Hashem. And the Rambam says the mitzvah to pray every single day, a requirement, an obligation to pray every day. The Ramban, in his Hasagas to the Rambam, really the Ramban is in Mitzvah Saseh Hey, where the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of tefillah. So the Ramban there argues very strongly with the Rambam, and the Ramban says that there is no such thing as a mitzvah min haTorah to pray every day. He really, the way he says it is, there's no mitzvah whatsoever to pray every day, to pray. There's no such thing as a mitzvah of tefillah. And the Ramban brings proofs from Chazal, from the Talmud, from Midrashim, in which he demonstrates that tefillah is entirely derabbanan in nature, that there's no such thing as a Torah mitzvah to pray. And the Ramban, you know, brings his proofs and argues with the Rambam and says no such thing as a mitzvah to pray. I'm not going to get into the back and forth between the Rambam and the Ramban, the proofs for each one, the refutations and the responses to each one will say, but just wanted to discuss the nature of the mitzvah of tefillah as the Rambam has and the Ramban. So the Ramban says there's no such thing as a mitzvah to pray. He says there's a mitzvah called avodah, which includes that you call out to Hashem be'es tzara. So the Ramban says, we could call it a concession, but he really doesn't think of it as conceding. He says that the extent of the mitzvah to pray is to call out to Hashem be'es tzara in a time of distress. And the Ramban says that there's no commandment to pray. Praying is not a commandment. Praying is a chesed that Hashem does for us, that he listens to our tefillos, that when we call out to him, he's there and he listens to us. That's not a commandment. That's something that Hashem does for us. It's an opportunity. So the Rambam has his daily mitzvah, the mandated to pray every day, and the Ramban says there's no such thing as a mandate to pray. There's an opportunity to pray, which is, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to ever do it, not once a day, not once a year. The only thing is that part of Avodas Hashem is that Hashem is the one that you turn to when you are in distress, and therefore it's a mitzvah to pray to Hashem when you are in distress, but not because that's a mitzvah of tefillah, but because that's part of the relationship that you have with Hashem, is that you turn to him when you are in distress. So the Rambam and the Ramban have this somewhat fundamental machlokes, but I just want to discuss within Jewish tradition, and the way that we approach tefillah, that Divrei Moshe v'Divrei Moshe, Shneim Divrei Elokim Chaim, that both the Rambam and the Ramban have elements of both true and both make their way into the way in which we pray. Just to put the Rambam and the Ramban into a framework, there's two types of relationship that we could discuss. Start with the Ramban. The Ramban talking about that there's no mitzvah to pray every day. There's a mitzvah to daven at times of distress. When you are in trouble, so that's what you're supposed to turn to Hashem. And the idea of tefillah, according to the Ramban, is that you're understanding your relationship to Hashem as the one who is there for you when you need him, that Hashem protects you and looks out for you. And as the Ramban writes, that the idea of tefillah is not a mitzvah, it's a chesed. It's a chesed elyon. It's a something. It's an incredible kindness that Hashem does for us, that he is there for us, and that when we need him. And relating to Hashem in the mitzvah of, in tefillah, in the Ramban's world, is relating to Hashem through your own life and your own experiences, through your own, it's your own emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, his world of tefillah, what he's describing is something very different. A mitzvah to daven every day, once a day, whether or not you feel like davening or not, that you are responsible to talk to Hashem. And the Rambam We could talk about another aspect of a relationship. You could talk about the idea of understanding Hashem as the one who wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him. Hashem wants you to feel that he's a constant presence in your life, and you should spill your heart out to Hashem even when you aren't in desperate need of him. Talk about a relationship. If you have a friend, and you're driving in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., your car breaks down, and your cell phone's dead and or about to die, and you know, with the last moments of juice in your cell phone, you call your one friend who you know you can count on 2 a.m. and you say, listen, I'm stranded out here in the middle of nowhere, my cell phone's gonna die as soon as this call is over, can you come and pick me up? And he's on the phone, 2 a.m, he's in bed, he's comfortable, he says, no, I don't think I can make it, and he hangs up. So you somehow drag yourself back to civilization, and you know, a couple of days later, you bump into your friend on your street on the street, and he waves you and says, "Hi, how are you doing?" And you look at him like, "Are you joking? Like, what you know what you did to me?" And he says back to you, "I don't say, what do you mean? We're friends. What are the obligations, the requirements? Like, you have expectations of me, like." We're friends. So, like, you know, it's, and you would look at him like he's crazy, because being a friend means that you're not only there for each other when it's convenient for you. You're not only there for each other when it works out. Being in a relationship means that there are obligations which one might have accepted upon themselves, but the strength of a relationship is defined by the obligations that it has. The degree to which it's real is the degree to which it's not up to your own pernicious decisions of convenience. The idea that gadol metzuva v'osa me'enu metzuva v'osa, someone who's commanded is great. Someone doing mitzvos through being commanded is greater than someone who's not commanded, because someone who's doing some mitzvos within a framework of being commanded is someone who's committed to a relationship. Someone who's doing mitzvos when they're not commanded, they're doing mitzvos, they're exciting. And when I want to do mitzvos, I'll do mitzvos, and when I don't want to do mitzvos, I won't. I feel a thrill and an excitement and a closeness and whatever it is. So there's a certain natural ease that comes with when I'm doing it only when it's, you know, when it's exciting, when it's invigorating, when it's inspiring. So that's very nice that you're doing it even though you don't have to. But at the end of the day, there's a certain what's in it for you in doing mitzvos if you're not chayev to. Person who's doing mitzvos and he's chayev to do mitzvos, and he does the mitzvos because he's chayev to do the mitzvos, hopefully he has excitement in doing the mitzvos, but if he's acknowledging that I have a relationship here, and it's not up to me to say I don't feel like it, so that's greater because it's an acknowledgement that we have a real relationship here. We're not just, you know, serving our own sense of trying to feel meaning. We have a relationship here, and that relationship is something that comes with, you know, there's a definition here. There's a framework. There's a context to our relationship. You know, the same way that you know, if you see a friend that you haven't seen in 2 years, you know, an old friend that you haven't seen in 2 years, it'll be a very, you know, emotional and happy reunion. If your spouse walked out and showed back up 2 years later, you would be very upset, because we have a relationship. It's not just, you know, like you leave when you want to and come back when you decide to come back. Part of a relationship is the consistency of it, is being there for each other. And that's really the nature of the mitzvah of tefillah that we're talking about in the world of the Rambam. It's every day, like it or not, you need to talk to Hashem. You have a relationship with Hashem. You're not only communicating with Hashem when it's inspiring for you. Part of what we have as being Va'am Hashem is that we have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when that relationship is a real relationship, and therefore we are part of that relationship even when it's not inspiring and fun for us. If you go back to the Chazal have two opinions about the origin of the tefillos that Chazal instituted, that we daven three times a day. So the Gemara in Brachos has two suggestions for where that comes from. What is this modeled off of that we pray two times a day? So one answer the Gemara says is Tfilos Avos Tiknum, that the Avos, that they were the ones who established, who enacted the Tfilos, that Avraham established Shachris and Yitzhak established Mincha and Yaakov established Maariv. The other opinion of the Gemara says that no, that Tfilos keneged korbanos, keneged tamidim tiknum, that the tfilos were set up keneged the tamid. There's a tamid shel shachar, there's a tamid shel bin arabayim, and then mariv, that throughout the night they would be makriv the emurim and all of the things, the shma, and that hadn't made it on chalavin and emurim, that had not made it onto the mizbeach during the day, those were all left, put up and left on the mizbeach to burn throughout the night. So there's the model, one model of, or one framework of tefillah is the avos tiknum, and the other framework of tefillah is that they're connected the korbanos. And in these two things also is that same dichotomy that you have on the one hand the connected the tamidim, the word tamid means consistent. The korban tamid was brought every day, docha Shabbos, docha everything, that the korban tamid was every single day without exception. And that's one model of what tefillah is. Tefillah is that it's consistent, it's mandated, it's a constant relationship. It's that you are part of something, which is you have to be a participant in this relationship, and you should be talking to Hashem, and you should realize that you have a relationship with Hashem, even if it's not a particularly inspiring moment for you. That's one model of what tefillah is. The other one, avos tiknum. The avos, all of the avos, the Tfilos that they were masakin, you go in, look at the sources in Chumash, they're all inspired by some event, something that happened specifically to Avram Avinu, inspired him to daven, something that happened specifically to Yitzchak, Yatzal Lasuach Masadeh, that something happened that inspired him to daven. Yaakov realizes that he passed the makom of the future Beis Hamikdash, or the makom where his forefathers brought korbanos, or were that he goes back and he says, I have to daven at this place. And that was the takana of Marv. It was things that were personal to them. It was the spontaneous, inspired by events, personal relationship, each one from his own standpoint. Avraham was specifically, and we'll talk about this as we go through the first three brachos, which the many commentaries, the Rishonim say, correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that each of them, the Shachris, was specifically fit into Avraham's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mincha specifically fit into Yitzchak's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Mariv specifically fit in to Yaakov's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And each of them was their personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the inspiration they had that they used, that was the they directed that towards their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the other type of, the other source, the other framework or model for tefillah, that avos tiknum, is this other aspect of tefillah, is the aspect of what the Ramban is describing, a relationship which is that I'm recognizing that Hashem is there for me throughout the vicissitudes of my own life, that the events and the things that I go through, that I turn to Hashem when I'm in distress, when something happens personal to me. I have a personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's defined by taking all of the emotional connection that I have and turning to Hashem and creating a personal relationship through that. And each one, each person from their own standpoint. In our actual daily tefillah, we really have a manifestation of this in every tefillah that we do. We have two types of Shemona Esrei that we daven at every davening. We have the Tfilas Lachash, the silent Shemona Esrei, the silent Amidah. It's a personal convocation. It's silent. It's flexible. You can add in your own requests. There's a halacha psuka that different stages of what's most appropriate, but at the bottom line, the halacha is that in every single tefillah in Shemona Esrei of the middle bakashos, of the request stages of tefillah, you can add in your own personal requests. That's the nature of the silent Shemona Esrei, is that it's personal. Then we have, and you go at your own pace, and you know what, if they start before you finish, so you'll meet them when you finish. But the silent Shemona Esrei is personal. It's your personal, quiet, personalized conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have the Chazaras HaShatz, we have the reader's repetition, and that's communal, and it's defined, and you're not allowed to add things in. It's tircha de tzibura. If the shaliach tzibur adds in, and it's everyone together, it's, you know, everyone coming together. So that's, you know, there's a broader, more defined. It doesn't have, when something is communal, it loses the room for it to be personal to each person, because if it's supposed to fit everyone, so it's about the common denominator, and that's the consistent and defined and directed tefillah, which is the tefillah betzibor, is also, it's a model of that. It's reminiscent of the Rambam's model of tefillah, of that there's a relationship which is consistent and defined, and it's by definition is the way it is, that there's I don't want to use the word static, but there is a constant and consistent element to our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which really speaks to the concreteness of the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that we're talking to him every day, that we're talking to him three times a day, we're saying the same thing three times a day, because it's part of a relationship, is that whether or not I particularly feel like it right now, but I'm here and I'm part of this relationship, and you know, it's funny to use the words I'm here for you, because we're, you know, Hashem doesn't need us, but that's the sentiment that we're representing, that we are a participant of a real relationship, and where it's not something that, you know, we just turn on and off at when it's convenient for us, that there's a concreteness and a definedness to our relationship, which really speaks to the realness of the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Shmona Esrei, therefore, plays a very central role. Chazal used the word tefillah to describe Shmona Esrei. Tefillah is the cornerstone, is the central expression of this idea of the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in both of these facets, in the facet of my personal relationship that I have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in the facet of the broader, defined, mandated aspect of the relationship that I have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah, the Shmona Esrei, serves both of these roles of being the defining expression of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll stop here for tonight. I had one more point that I wanted to throw in as just a general point about the shiur, which is I mentioned that I have no curriculum, and therefore I'm perfectly happy for everyone to ask questions, and I'm perfectly happy to go on a 20-minute tangent. As long as, you know, it's something that everyone's interested in, because I don't have any curriculum that I'm required to get through, and therefore, you know, whatever is meaningful and informative to whoever's here, I'm happy to discuss.
Yeah, a quick question. Is there any suggestion in the Talmud or anywhere that Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov davened each other's times too, or just their own one time of the day? And did they continue to do it all the time, or was it just the one time you said it for that occasion?
So it's definitely clear that Yitzchak davened Shachris as well as Mincha, and Yaakov davened Mincha and Shachris as well as Maariv.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if it is as clear that Avraham davened. It says
each one is to their own.
Right, exactly. It says Yitzchak was Mesakin Mincha. Sounds like there wasn't Mincha up until Yitzchak instituted it. Right. Yeah.
So it's considered that it became a daily thing, even though it was a particular occasion that brought them to do it. They decided to keep it up.
Right. Yeah.
Rabbi, what's the one word that you know we won't delve into already?
At the end of the first bracha, the concluding line before the chasima, before Baruchat Hashem, there is Melech Ozer Moshio Umagen. And I don't have that much to say about the word melech in that line. Maybe by the time we get there, I'll come up with something. But as it stands right now, I don't have a particularly fascinating to expound about why we use the description melech at that particular point. But I think that might be the only word.
Uh-huh.
All right. How does this work?